Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananda Goti, Vaishnava. Tatra.
In that connection.
Getting out of the entanglement of material conditioning. Upaya of processes. Sahasranam of many thousands. I am this. Bhagavata Uditaha. Given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yat, which? Ishvare. To the Lord. Bhagavati. To the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yata. As much as. Yai. By which? Anjasa. Quickly. Ratehi. Attachment with love and affection. So translation, of the different processes recommended for disentanglement from material life, the one personally explained and accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be considered all perfect. That process is the performance of duties by which love for the Supreme Lord develops. So you can repeat, of the different processes recommended for disentanglement from material life,
The one personally explained
and accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
should be considered all perfect.
That process is the performance of duties,
by which love for the Supreme Lord develops.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Among the linking processes that elevate one from bondage to material contamination, the one recommended by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be accepted as the best. That process is clearly explained in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, Sarva dharmadam purachyaja mamekam shananam braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. This process is the best because the Lord assures Aham Tvam Sarvapapi Bhyo Moksha Yashami Ma Shuchaha. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. There is no need to be worried, for the Lord Himself assures that He will care for His devotees and save him from the reactions of sinful activities. Material bondage is a result of sinful activity. Therefore, since the Lord assures that He will dissipate the results of fruit of material activities, there is no need to be worried. This process of understanding one's position as a spirit soul and then engaging oneself in devotional service is therefore the best. The entire Vedic program is based on this principle, and one can understand it as recommended in the Vedas. Yasya Devi Pura Bhaktir Yata Devi Tata Guru Tashaite Katita Yartha Prakashante Mahatmana. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. That's from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6:23. One must accept the pure devotee, the representative of God, as one's guru, and then offer him all the respects one would offer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the secret of success. For one who adopts this method, the perfect process is revealed. In this verse, the words, Yar Anjasa Ratehi, indicate that by offering service and surrendering to the spiritual master, one is elevated to devotional service, and by performing devotional service, one gradually becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of this attachment to the Lord, one can understand the Lord. In other words, one can understand what the Lord's position is, what our position is, and what our relationship is. All this can be understood very easily by the simple method of Bhakti Yoga. As soon as one is situated on the platform of Bhakti Yoga, the root cause of one's suffering and material bondage is destroyed.
This is clearly explained in the next verse, which gives the secret of success. So, Atatropaya Sahasranam Ayam Bhagavato Dittaha Yadishvare Bhagavati Yataya Ranjasa Rataki. So, Om Ganati Vidanda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Medita Yenatas Mai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, implicit in this verse, of course, is the necessity for disentanglement from material life, and as we've mentioned many times before, the cause of suffering in this material world is attachment. And of course we cite the Buddhists in this regard. Lord Buddha, of course, we've mentioned this many, many times before, has his four noble truths, and one of the noble truths, two of them are, a material world is suffering, the suffering is due to attachment. So the idea is to give up that attachment which causes the suffering. And there are different methods, as described here, different processes for giving up the attachment. In the Vedic context, that's called yoga. Now, the word yoga is very interesting because the word yoga indicates connection, and actually connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It doesn't indicate a series or a process of exercises. Generally, in the West, we misunderstand the word yoga. Just like if someone goes to a yoga school, generally they're teaching all these different asanas. And that was not really Patanjali's idea with yoga. Of course, Patanjali is considered the author of the Yoga Sutras. And Patanjali, in the beginning, says that yoga is meant to, first of all, the process of yoga is meant to control the mind, the vritti, or the turning of the mind. And of course, that's very similar to the English word vert, like subvert, pervert, revert, invert, all these different words that indicate something turning. So vritti means to turn, or the turning of the mind. So yoga is meant to control the mind, in other words, which ultimately is utilized to control the senses. And in order to do that, there are different eightfold systems of doing that, which are called the Ashtanga Yoga system. That's Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pratyahara, Pranayam, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. So that means rejecting certain things that are not favorable, just like we have our four regulated principles: no meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. And then niyam, accepting certain things, as Krishna states in the sixth chapter of the Gita, going to a secluded place, sitting on deer skin, poor deer. The reason you sit on deer skin is it repels snakes. And if you, generally in India, if you go to a secluded place, there's going to be many snakes. I just saw something on the internet the other day. There was a 8-foot-long cobra that had killed a guy's son, you know, big snake. And the guy got angry, got angry at the cobra, and he actually killed the cobra. He got so angry, he picked the cobra up after he killed his son, and he smashed him like that. That takes a lot of courage or a lot of passion. Anyway, so that's the reason for the deer skin. And then after that, one sits in an asana. Asana means, you know, a certain posture. Interestingly enough, Patanjali, who's the author of the Yoga Sutras, only taught like two or three asanas. Now you have, you know, Iyengar and so many other people who teach like thousands of asanas. And, you know, maybe very helpful for your health. Like Prabhupada one time was walking on the beach and he saw someone doing this headstand. Mother Krishna Priya, what's a headstand called? There's a technical name for it. You forget. Okay, we'll have to recertify you. So he was doing a headstand, and Prabhupada said, yes, it makes one very healthy. And the devotees asked, should we practice that? And Prabhupada said, we don't have time. So I actually have one disciple who practices 3 hours a day all these different asanas. He knows more asanas than Patanjali does. Not Patanjali. More asanas than Iyengar does. And he's world famous. I gave him the name Mahayogi. And he makes money doing it, which is good. It's better than working in a factory. Then you work as a yogi and you make money that way. Anyway, so asana, pranayama, one breathes in a certain way. Vachahara withdraws the senses, focuses the mind, jhana, dhyana, and ultimately samadhi, you know, absorption, complete absorption. So that's the Eightfold Yoga System. What? What is it? Shirasana. Mm-hmm. It's called Shirasana. I remember it now. I'll have to practice it more. So, in my age, it would be quite dangerous to try to do it, isn't it? I'm not suggesting that. So, anyway, so that's the yoga system, as taught by Patanjali. And ultimately, it's meant to control the mind. And ultimately, even beyond that, Ishvara Pradhani. Patanjali says it's meant to concentrate on Ishvara. Ishvara, of course, is a name for God, meaning the controller, you know, Paramishvara. Can someone turn off that incense? Put that incense out? I'm having trouble breathing. Thank you. Especially in a sealed room. So, anyway, so ultimately it's the concentration on Ishvara. So that's the meditational yoga system, which falls under the jurisdiction, according to Srila Prabhupada, of a jnana yoga. So there's different types of yogas. And even before this jnana yoga, there's something called karma yoga. That's interesting. Karma yoga basically means to act in such a way to connect yourself with God. And in other words, following God's instructions externally. So there's that karma yoga. I think God is getting upset with me. So there's karma yoga, and then the jnana yoga. Another form of jnana yoga, in addition to the Patanjali system that I just mentioned, is just the gradual detachment from this material world by the process of neti-neti, saying this is not it, this is not it, you know, I'm not, or as Prabhupada would sometimes very simply say, look at your body, is this you, you know, is the fingers you, the head you, the nose you, the feet you, where are you? And that, you know, that's a very simplified form of Sankhya Yoga, actually, which is part of Jnana Yoga. So, and then ultimately, Sankhya means to count or to enumerate the different aspects of the material creation. And even an incarnation of Krishna, known as Kapiladeva, taught a form of this Sankhya Yoga that ultimately culminates in bhakti. And then, of course, then we have Bhakti Yoga, which we are teaching. And Krishna in the Gita, as Prabhupada cites in the last purport here, quoting from the 6th chapter, verse 47 of the Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatain antaratmana shadavam bhajate yomam saame yuktatamo mataha. That of all types of yogis, the best yogi is the Bhakti Yogi, which the Prabhupada says here too. And the interesting thing about the Bhakti Yoga system, in addition to many other interesting things, is that we're going to use some Sanskrit words, the sadhana and the sadhya are exactly the same. In other words, the process and the goal is exactly the same. There's no difference. And in these other yoga systems, let's take Hatha Yoga, for example, Patanjali system, the process is, as we mentioned, you know, going to a secluded place, et cetera, et cetera, breathing in a certain way, sitting down in a certain way. And when you reach yoga, when you reach perfection using that system, you don't continue doing that. In other words, you don't have any of those duties to perform anymore. Krishna mentions that in the Gita too, that you don't have to do it anymore. And certainly you don't want to do it. You know, it's torturous to sit like that and go to a secluded place. So, in other words, the process is different than the goal. Once you achieve the goal, I mean, let's say in the material sphere, your goal is to make a lot of money. And so the process is to work hard. And let's say you've made a lot of money, then you don't want to keep working. I mean, at a certain stage in life, you retire and you go on Social Security. Hopefully, if there's still Social Security by the time you reach the age of retirement. So in any case, you don't want to keep working. You'd like to have a vacation always. So that's the point of these other processes of self-realization, that at a certain point you just give it up, and that's it. And then you have a vacation, you know, you're self-realized, you're liberated, no longer entangled in the material world. Whereas the process of bhakti, you don't give up. And you may say, wow, we got to do this process forever and ever and ever, you know, chanting and waking up early, following the four regular principles. I like a process I can give up when I get liberated. Well, the point is, with the bhakti process, it's kevalananda kanda. It is always blissful. The more you do it, the more you like it. And we're going to describe that process in a second, because that process is elaborated on by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this famous verse beginning with Ado Shraddha. And I'm going to talk about the process of bhakti yoga right now, which Prabhupada explains in the purport. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes this process in terms of different steps. Because generally when you're talking about a process, you talk about different stages or steps in the process, isn't it? So it's like the process for making money. I mean, just like Prabhupada told a funny story about this one man who had planned the whole process for becoming wealthy. He said the man was a potter. He was making pots. Okay. And so he had this whole plan, this whole process to make a lot of money. So he made one beautiful pot that was going to sell for a lot of money. I guess it was, you know, a lot of different designs in it and everything like that. So he was thinking, I've made this pot, and then I'll sell it, and then with the money I'll make two pots like this. And with that money, I'll sell those two pots. And with that money, I'll make four pots. And then eight pots, 16 pots, 32 pots, 64. It sounds like a computer. 6,428 pots. And so, you know, all of a sudden, he somehow or other gets up to 64 gigabytes of pots. So anyway, so somehow or other he gets up to a lot of pots, and he says, and I'll sell them, and I'll be rich. And he says, when I become rich, everyone will have to listen to me, especially my wife, he mentions. And he says, if she doesn't listen to me, of course, we don't advocate this. He said, I'll kick her. And then as doing that, he kicked over the pot. And he broke his initial investment, and then everything was finished because he offended his wife that didn't exist at that particular juncture. So the moral of the story is don't offend your wife. So, now, the moral of the story is there's a process. That's the reason I told the story. So the process elaborated by Lord Chaitanya is interesting. Ado Shraddha. Ado means in the beginning. Shraddha means faith. Sometimes that word Shraddha in this context is translated as preliminary faith or interest. In other words, in the beginning, there's a little bit of interest. And even as Krishna mentions in the Gita, he talks about in the beginning steps, he mentions chatur vidha bhajanti mam. He said in the beginning, one's interest may be because one is looking for wealth, one is looking for knowledge, one is inquisitive, or one is in distress. You know, in other words, there's different reasons for approaching spiritual life in the beginning. But there's interest. Somehow or other, that interest is awakened by the mercy of Krishna. Because as we mentioned the other day, that by the mercy of Krishna, we quoted this verse also from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Paramanda Brahmate Kona Bhagavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija, that the mercy of Krishna, one comes in contact with a guru, with a spiritualist. So one's, that's the beginning, the first step. Just like before I came in contact with the Krishna Consciousness Movement, One day I was just innocently listening to the radio, just trying to enjoy myself by listening to Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Joan Baez, and I guess you can see where I come from, and the Mamas and the Papas. Anyway, you remember?
Yeah.
So, anyway, so I was just innocently trying to enjoy the material world. And then all of a sudden, this voice comes on. It was Prabhupada chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You know, he was singing, of course. And I immediately the Bhakti Lata Bija got implanted in my heart by accident. Of course, it was Krishna's plan because I was trying to find out the purpose of life. So anyway, so I heard this from Prabhupada, and that's a Do Shraddha. And so we all have different experiences of this beginning. Like someone may go to Krishna West, or someone may get a book, or someone may just like walk by what we call the Harinam. Harinam means when the devotees chant on the street, and someone walks by, even if they're drunk, you know, that could be the beginning of their spiritual life. You know, they just hear the holy names and go, what's that? Like that. Hare Krishna. And then that's the beginning of their spirit. That's a Do Shraddha. And then, after you become exposed in that particular way, then sadhu sangha, then you want to be with those people, you know, because they're interesting people. I mean, even if they're just like interesting because you just want to have an anthropological investigation. I remember there are many stories in South America. Because South America, you have all these secret, at least in those days, you had all these secret police who would investigate the Hare Krishna movement with the idea of whatever, doing whatever, reporting on the Hare Krishna movement. So there's stories in Brazil, for example. There's one member of the Brazilian secret police who joined the Hare Krishna movement because he was assigned to do so, to investigate us. And so in order to investigate us, he had to make believe that he was a devotee. You know, obviously, if he came in with his uniform and said, I'm meant to investigate you, it wouldn't be a very good investigation. So he dressed up as a devotee, shaved his head, you know, put on these robes, whatever, and was chanting. And after about 8 months or something, the devotee said, you're ready for initiation. And he was thinking, he said, I really have to be honest. But then he was thinking, actually, I like this. So even though he came, you know, there was a trick, he came. Krishna was making this trick because he had some desire to be Krishna conscious. Krishna wouldn't have done that with any other Joe Blow or Juan Juarez or something like that. Krishna did it because he was ready for it. And then he admitted to the devotee, he says, actually, I came to investigate, but now I want to be a devotee. Can I take initiation? So he took initiation. Anyways, there's so many interesting stories like that. I mean, there's even that story where there was a stewardess on an airplane, and she was just doing her normal business, and Prabhupada was on the airplane eating something called chidwa. Chidwa is like a puff rice, fried puff rice type of preparation. And Prabhupada was eating, and she looked at his preparation and said, oh, looks really good. And she took a little bit and popped it in her mouth. And because she ate the remnants from Prabhupada, then later on, after Prabhupada had left the planet, the devotees were doing Sankirtan in Brazil. And Sankirtan means they were distributing books. And they went to the villages. And in this village, they knocked on a door. And there was this old lady, because stewardesses also get old. Because nowadays, the stewardesses in the airlines are already old, isn't it? No, in those days, they were always young. But anyway, so, that's kind of funny. Anyway, so, and there was this lady with Prabhupada's books, you know, Gornatai deities, everything like that. I said, how did you come in touch with Krishna consciousness? And she explained that she had taken the chidwa, the little puff rice from Prabhupada's plate. Huh? And then she became a devotee. Now, I mean, of course, obviously she came in contact with devotees later on to get the books. It's not that the books magically, you know, manifested from the ether, and the deities, you know, Gornatai deities manifested from the ether. So anyway, so that's Ados Sadatata Sadhu Sangota. Sadhu Sangha means the association of Vaishnavas. So it happens, it grows on you. And then, after that, you associate with people, the devotees, and the next step in the process is a bhajana kriya. One begins to do what they're doing. Bhajana kriya means, basically, you know, waking up early in the morning, chanting the names of Krishna, eating prasadam, and everything like that, the process of devotional service. So when one executes the process of devotional service, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yadahaitakam, automatically, by the process of devotional service, you become detached from the material world. That's called Vairagya. Ragya means passion. That one gives up their passion, or the passion falls away. It's not a process of being negative towards the material world. All these other processes, especially the Jnana Yoga process, is a process of negativity. You know, not this, not that, neti, neti, neti. Whereas the process of Krishna consciousness is described by Krishna in the Gita is raso varjam rasopyasa pradam jirsrati vartate. One gets a higher pleasure, a higher taste. So automatically you lose interest. As I mentioned in my book, You're Not the Body, it's like if one is making mud pies, when one gets a real cake, one loses interest in the mud pies. So it's the same thing. So that's anartha navritti. So by the process of bhakti, unwanted, anartha means unwanted things disappear. And that really brings up the point here of all the different processes recommended for disentanglement from material life. Because one gets a higher taste by the process of bhakti. And so the process of bhakti is very simple. It's not like going to a secluded place and sitting down on deer skin and, you know, breathing in one nostril, out another nostril, and all those other nice things. It's a process simply of enjoying yourself. Like Prabhupada would often comment that this is simply a system of recreation. I mean, for example, we don't have vacations from Krishna consciousness. I mean, certainly if you're going to the university, you've got to take a vacation from, you know, the tests and everything like that. I'm still traumatized from my years in the university from taking the test. I still have dreams that the test is tomorrow. And then the report is coming out, or the marks are going to be there. But Krishna consciousness is so nice that it gets better and better every day. You don't want to take a vacation. Even, you know, I'm going, tomorrow I'm going to New Orleans. But I'm not going to New Orleans to go to the French Quarter. Well, actually, I will be in the French Quarter for Rath Yatra. Actually, the French Quarter is one of the most degraded places on the planet. Really is. So I'm going there because we're having a festival. It's called Rath Yatra. We go through the streets and we dance and we chant and there's carts there and all the drunk people are waving from the windows, you know, hari bol, whatever. And but it's, you know, it's a Krishna conscious vacation. Also, it's working vacation because I'm in charge of New Orleans. So just like we're doing so many things, you know, building the school here, renovating the temple, and, you know, when do you get time off? Who wants time off? What's that? The screensaver. You just have to keep. There's a screensaver. It has to be disabled. So, you know, who wants time off? I just want to be engaged 24 hours a day in Krishna service. So anyway, so it's not a miserable experience or something you have to give up. It's something you want to continue. And in the spiritual world, people are doing things too like that. Of course, in the beginning, we're practicing doing that. That's called devotional service and practice. You know, we're practicing waking up early, practicing chanting. But after a while, after you get rid of the unwanted things, you know, lust, anger, greed, envy, all these things that are haunting us, these are ghosts that are haunting us. After you get rid of these things, then you, first of all, you become nishta. Nishta is the next stage. You become very steady, and then you get ruchi. What does ruchi mean? Ruchi means you get a taste for doing something, so it's so pleasurable. Just like we have this song we often chant, Goranga Balite Habi Pulaka Sharia, that we hanker for that day when we'll have the taste, so that simply by chanting, let's say, Hare Krishna or Lord Chaitanya's name, Goranga, then the hairs stand on end. The hairs stand on end. Just like I've seen recently, there's a movie that just comes out. It just came out. I'm not going to mention the name of the movie. That people are talking about how they went to the movie and their hair stood on end. Anyway, Star Wars. The Force Awakens. So people were mentioning that. And of course, that's just temporary. You know, it doesn't last. It's not that every day they can go to see the same Star Wars movie, even though, you know, I'm sure it's exciting. And hopefully someone will take me to see it. But it gets dull after a while. Just like there was that song. I hate to say it, the chewing gum loses flavor on the bedpost overnight. You ever hear that song? You have. Yeah, anyway, the young people have not heard that song. So, or chewing the chew, purnat purnat charvita charvananam. It gets dull after a while, but Krishna consciousness just gets more and more and more. It gets better and better every day. It's not, you know, 16 rounds and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt, as the Krishna hymn says. So that's called ruchi. So after, just to reiterate, after the bhajana kriya, you get nishta, you get steady, 24 hours a day, and then ruchi, you get such a taste. And then after that, there's this stage called ashakti, where you become so attached to Krishna. I mean, that's love. I mean, when we're talking about love, love begins with attachment, but then it ends with complete devotion, or complete surrender, as Prabhupada quotes here, you know, Sarvanamram Purushasha, etc. And that's done because one is completely absorbed in the object of one's love. You know, so that's why it's called bhakti yoga. It's the yoga of love. So then a shakti. Then after a shakti, there's bhava, which means emotions start to manifest that are sometimes uncontrollable. There's even in the Vedic literatures, there's a whole science of emotions. I remember when I went to the university, I actually took a course in emotions. I don't know if anyone took a psychological course in emotions. You did, Mother Krishna Priya. And it was quite boring. I was thinking, you know, it's going to be a really exciting course, emotions. But then generally we dealt with anger. But in the spirit, in Krishna consciousness, understanding bhavas or emotions, you can spend your whole life understanding them. There's things that stimulate emotions. They're called vibhavas. There's anubhavas, the emotions that follow that stimulation, like rolling on the ground, foaming to the mouth. There's sattvika bhavas. I mean, bhavas or emotions that are always there within you. Sometimes they're more prominent, less prominent, but they're eightfold of those. There's vyabhachari bhavas, which are intermittent, uncontrollable emotions. Unbelievable emotions. There's sthayi bhava, which is your continual connection with Krishna, your relationship with, connected with your relationship with Krishna, the different varieties of relationship like passive or servitude, friendship, conjugal love, or parental. Anyway, and then there's all these different types of emotions. And then, so bhava, and then after bhava, you get prema, pure love for Krishna. And in that process, while you're doing this process, things get more and more spontaneous. And you realize who you are in the spiritual world. because we have a real identity which is quite different than our material identity. I mean, in the spiritual world, I'm not an American, thank God. In the spiritual world, you know, I don't know what I am, but anyway, whatever I am, as they say, I am what I am. So, of course, God said I am what I am. But anyway, so in the spiritual world, you have a spiritual, you are, not simply you have, to say it's more precise to say you are your body there. And that body is lying, is now there, lying in seed form. You just have to realize it, and the process of bhakti is to uncover your coverings, the lust, anger, greed, you know, the material coverings, as mentioned in the previous verse about the word used here, nirha ranam. That means, basically, here it's translated bija niharanam, burning of the seed. Niharanam means basically lifting of the fog. So when this fog gets lifted, you actually realize who you are in the spiritual world, and then you really get a chance to enjoy, and then you become so compassionate, you want to save everyone else and bring everyone else back to the same position, because everyone has that eternal spiritual nature. Anyway, so that's the process of bhakti. It gets better and better. It's non-different from the goal, and that's what we should do. We should go for it.